Hey, this is not gay.
Welcome back to the Weird Shit. This is Paul and the Gator.
Yeah, buddy.
Tonight, we're going to do a quick little episode talking about the afterlife, past lives, reincarnation.
Paul, do you believe in the afterlife?
You know, I do believe in the afterlife. For a long time, I didn't.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I very staunchly believe in reincarnation.
What made you believe in that?
Few things. Well, you know, lots of stories. First story I heard was actually a story about the Dalai Lama. So the Dalai Lama, anytime he dies in Tibet, they take all the children that were born just after his death, that once they become, I think it was 5 or 6 years old, and they have them all to this event, all that were in that certain area of birth, and they have this room with 100 objects in it. And out of the 100 objects, only one thing in the entire room had belonged to the previous Dalai Lama. Every single time, one of those children on his first try will pick up that one item and say, this was mine in my previous life. And that is how they don the new Dalai Lama every time he passes.
But would you call that chance?
With one out of 100 objects, I would not call that chance. Say they have 5 children to the event, and one child picks the one item out of there with confidence and says, this was mine in a previous life. I find that not to be chance.
How many children? That's what I'm saying. I got to think, if there's so many children, it's bound to happen.
It's only a certain amount of children that are born in that time window. So when the Dalai Lama passes, I believe there's a birth time of like 1 year or so after. I'm not 100% on all the details, but it's not a lot of children. It's not like they bring 500 children there.
I don't want to say I don't disbelieve or, you know, anything, because I actually do believe in reincarnation. I was just wondering, you know, like how many children, you know, like, you know, like, you know, what are the chances of that thing being picked?
Well, this is the thing, and this is just one of the things that opened my eyes to it. I know it's not like 100 children. It's literally like handpicked, like 10 kids that go into this room of 100 items, and they each have a whack at it. And like with precision, the one child will walk around the room and he will pick out this item and say, this was mine in my previous life.
Would you like to know if I believe in reincarnation and the afterlife?
I was actually just going to ask you that.
Thank you. Yes, and absolutely yes. I do believe it for different reasons.
Okay, enlighten me.
Well, I told you my story about the medium, so we'll go to that later. But reincarnation.
Well, the people haven't heard about the medium story.
I'll tell them that too. But I'll go reincarnation where you were just right now.
Okay.
I watched a story. I'm not exactly sure if it was Facebook or YouTube, one of them, you know.
Oh, my feet stink.
What? We can edit out.
Yeah, I said, oh, my feet stink.
So you say, what did you see, Eddie?
What did you see, Ed?
So I watched this movie, right, or this video, where this kid, he was born, he was like 6 years old, and he could literally tell his, he was telling his place where he died to his parents. And his parents were like, what the heck? And it was in World War II. And they're like, what are you talking about? He could literally tell his squadron. And at some point, he went to meet these people.
I've heard this story, yeah.
And he knew them by name. And then, like, he knew them by squad name. Like he walked in the room and he knew them. Like, how can you explain that?
You know, and it's funny that you bring that up, because it leads me to another story that I and I remember where I heard the story, Unsolved Mysteries. I was watching an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, and they had this story about this little girl, and her grandmother had passed away, and she was born, like, I want to say a few months later after her grandmother was born. And about the time she was 7, 8 years old, they started bringing her to the diner that her grandmother went to every single day when she was old. You know how the grandmothers, you know, and grandparents, they eat at the diner for breakfast when they're older. And she went there. And the first time she walked through the door to this diner, she knew the names of all the waitresses. She
That's wild.
Commented on their children, asked them how their significant others were, and she said, I am my grandmother. And she went into the story about how when she was going to be reborn, she got to pick who her parents were going to be. And she picked her daughter to be her mother. And that's when it was crazy. And she knew everything to a T.
How old was this person when they told the story?
How old was the person when they told the story?
Yeah.
Well, she was 7 years old. The parents were I don't know if the parents told it to Unsolved Mysteries.
You're always going
to
wonder.
It was the girl and her parents that told the story to Unsolved Mysteries, but there were also witnesses.
Yep.
They interviewed the women at the diner as well, and they had them on the program as well, saying, yes, it was like I was talking to, say her name was Doris.
Dottie.
Doris. She knew everything about me, asked how my kids were, asked how my husband was.
That is insane.
She knew what I ordered. She ordered the same food.
I believe in it 100%.
You know, and I am a staunch believer.
You know, it's good. You know what? Let's say it's not true. It's nice to believe that if you fuck up,
you get another go at it.
Yeah, give me another chance.
But I mean, I honestly for a long time didn't believe that. I figured it was one and done.
But
you know, now that I have really, you know, come into my own spiritually, I definitely believe that it's not one and done, and I've actually myself feel like I've definitely lived several lives before this one.
I don't know if I can't reconcile to that personally, but I feel like getting older and going through life, like, you know, you go through so much, you go through so many like tragedies and like triumphs, and you know, like everything's good, great, grand, but like if you know, like sometimes you feel like things happen for a reason, and I feel like that's why. It's because, you know, you go through all these things and you've already done it.
Yep, you know, I agree with you, and you know, also I feel like a big factor is deja vu. Like, when I feel like I've done things that I've done before, and the older I get and the more that deja vu happens, I tend to think, well, maybe that didn't happen
this time.
Yeah, maybe it happened another time, you know, and things were just a little bit different. Yeah, but not the same. And then I've heard stories of
different situation, different time. Maybe.
Yep, and I've
the
even
same
heard,
situation, different time. That's what I mean.
I've even heard stories of weird time warps, like this. Supposedly, this street in England too, where people walk down the street and it's cobblestone street, and all of a sudden it's like they'll be walking, and there'll be no street lights. It's all candle lit, and they're in, you know, the early 20th century. And
I wish I walked down that.
And then they walk right back out of it. It's almost like there's a time warp. And I forget the specific name of the town and the street in England, but it's not just one person. It's like a lot of people have had this happen to them there.
I got a question for you.
Right? Shoot.
This is a little off topic, but we'll get right back. If you could be born in any time, what would it be?
Now.
Yeah? Why?
Because, I mean, while being born early 19th century,
you would have been a badass Viking, Paul.
I would have been a badass Viking. You're right. And while as much as that sounds cool and awesome, at the same time, the reason I say now or even early 21st century is we're on such a cusp here, and I'm speaking on the belief that maybe this hasn't happened before, even though I believe it has. I believe civilizations much earlier than us have already reached this height and then crashed down and burned on this planet already. But that's another topic for another day. So to answer your question specifically,
that's something we're going to have to definitely tackle.
Yeah, we'll tackle that. But specifically, yes, the time is now, because I feel like all things are coming to pass now. Even if you look at the Bible and the old Indian text, the way that they were, things are coming to a head now. The technological advance, everything, now is the time.
All right, so now, saying all that, you said you've had deja vu, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so tell me, for instance, of your deja vu.
Specific instances, that's...
Well, just like, all right, there's going to be like a few that stick out, because I know I have a few.
Yeah, well...
Like dreams, more like dreams. Like
dreams, what? Too, but like more along everyday things, too, like I've been in places where I know that I've never been before, but just like almost like the
you thing feel
on the tip of your tongue, you have that feeling in the back of your head. I've been here before.
You
I've
feel it. You've done this before. You don't necessarily know if you have, but you feel
maybe
it.
Maybe the hair stands up on the back of your neck a little bit, and you're like, I've been here, but you haven't. You know, and that's the feeling I'm talking about.
I agree with you.
And sometimes it's much stronger than others, you know?
So what do you think that, like, what do you think that comes from?
I think it's just regressive memory. Like, if I feel like if we are a soul that travels through many lifetimes, and we are supposed to learn and get better with each time, that we do have repressed memory from those lifetimes that we don't necessarily, like... And as we get older, that's one of the other things they say as a young child, really, between the ages of like 6 and 10 is when these memories will really be fresh in your mind. And as you get a little bit past that age, they kind of wear away as you join this new life that you've become accustomed to.
It's almost like one of those weird, like, for instance, is like, you ever heard someone like... Like, get like a head trauma, and all of a sudden they can speak Latin.
Yeah, or they can play the piano.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and it's almost like the jolt affected another part of their mind that they weren't aware of a talent or a gift that they had, which just makes you wonder what we're actually capable of.
Well, we only use 2% of our brain.
You know, and...
What the hell's what's going on with that 98%?
You know what's another crazy thing, too? And some people use a little more or less than that, but...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know, trust me.
But Einstein, actually... Brother.
He's gonna hate me if you ever listen to this podcast. Oh man. So, Rob, I love you.
How do you explain this? How do you explain this one? So Einstein, right? When he died, he allowed them to take his brain and cut it into sections to study for science.
They preserved it well.
They did preserve it well. Now the funny thing is when he died, he was 78 years old, I believe. He had the brain of a 22-year-old. His brain did not age. Like, you should have a much older used brain organ.
In
today's standards. His brain was the health status of a 22-year-old.
Did they have any reason for that?
Just the way it was. Like, it didn't show
any... No, I'm saying, like, did they have any reason, like, what he did? That...
They don't know. No, they have no idea. But they're assuming maybe he became so active. Maybe his brain was still so active, but it didn't show the signs of aging like the rest of his body. His brain was so active, it had the activity level of a 22-year-old.
I also have a question for you. They say we only use 2% of our brain, right?
Hey, they say between 2 and 10%.
Well, what? How do they judge that?
That's a very good question, and I am not.
It's like
able to
what? Like
that.
What do we have? Like this? Like tiny little like.
Yeah, timer on the back that says I'm functioning at 9%.
Yeah, like, it's a weird
But
thing.
You know,
like,
what's
how
crazy?
Do they, how do they know?
And what's crazy in nature, or take today's standards, would you put up with it if your TV only functioned at 10%?
No, absolutely not.
So why is it okay for us to only function at 10%?
Can I tell you one thing I believe? I believe ancient people, whether it be, you know, Aborigines or whether it be ancient Americans, like they were functioning on
much higher level.
They were doing something that we don't
ancient
understand.
Ancient Egyptians, they knew about anti-gravity. They knew about the ley lines.
They were doing
the
things
earth
that we had no idea about.
They built the fucking pyramids.
Yeah, like, hey.
We still can't do that today.
You ever watch, I don't even need to ask, but I know you watch Ancient Aliens, right? Isn't it crazy that to move one of those blocks, it would take 17 cranes?
Yeah, and there's no way they moved them on rollers. You're fucking, you're pulling
my
butt.
Come on.
All right? Don't even mention that to me. You're fucked. All right?
You know,
I'm sorry. Don't even try to tell me that they moved those on fucking rollers. All right?
Yeah,
kick rocks. All right? See you never. Ask the guy.
17 cranes.
You know what I would love to get my hands on? You ever heard of the Coral Castle
in
Florida? Now, that dude took the secret to his grave, but they always said he had this little box with him. And I think that little box was some sort of anti-gravity device, whether it be acoustic wave technology or something, to make those blocks weightless. Because the one man without cranes moved all that shit too. And how do you explain that? We're missing a key from our current physics. We've been here before. The Egyptians had power. They had electricity. How else did they describe all that shit in the pyramids in the depths like that?
Can I express something that I've seen just in my lifetime with a single man? So I live in Plainville. There's this place. It's called The Vault, right? It's right down the road from my house. All right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The ice cream little shop that was there for like, I don't know, a couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why they called The Vault was because it was a vault, because it was a bank.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get the bank out. So they said, fuck it. We're going to call it The Vault. And so, right, they had multiple people in there trying to move this thing, right? And no one could move it an inch. One single guy came in there. He was an engineer. And he moved the thing 6 feet to the center of the store so it could be called the vault. But I'm telling you, they had like 6-8 guys, like, you know, young adults trying to move this thing. None of them could move it, but one single man with intelligence moved that vault.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably used some sort of levy.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine. But still, you can't move a fucking 5-ton block.
Just goes to say, it's all about
100 miles. You know, some of the granite and stuff they use for the pyramids, they say came from hundreds of miles away.
No, I'm just like, saying, it's all about what you know. Like,
exactly.
And these ancient people, they didn't know.
They did know, though.
Well, they found out somehow.
They knew. Someone told them.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying they found out. I'm saying, we can't do it, but,
I think the knowledge is out there. It's just been lost to us.
How about the cuts?
Oh, like the laser precision cuts at some of these places, like Chichen Itza and stuff like that. I mean, it's insane. And you couldn't fit a human hair in between it. And it's almost like they were molded. They were melted almost together in unison, like with this great laser or heat source. I mean, you're talking precision 90-degree angles.
Doesn't it blow your mind that
we can't even do it today
without lasers? Doesn't it blow your mind that people see these things and they're like, oh, well, like, how could you not
move? Even if you ask the native people in that area, indigenous to that area, who built it, they say it wasn't us. And when you ask them who, they say our ancestors, and they point up to the stars. That's what they say, the indigenous people there. That's, and even the Hopis, the Hopi Indians, and they call them Space Brothers. We ask the Stargate that's supposedly ingrained in New Mexico. They say, who built this? And they say not us. They say the Space Brothers. They point to the star.
And why would they call them the Space Brothers? Obviously, they're obviously seeing stuff that we
can see. Yeah, they're obviously, they've made contact that I believe we have too. It's just been kept from us. Well, again, another topic for another day.
Right.
That's any indigenous species, you ask them, like the Australian Aborigines, they have this thing called the Dreamtime. And how they tell their stories are their history, and it's not necessarily written, it's drawn and told in these stories called the Dreamtime. And they through sounds and different things, they come into this hypnotic state called the Dreamtime, and that's where they pass on their stories and their memories and everything, and they talk about the galaxies and, like, even the Drogon people in Africa, right? So we can see Sirius A in the stars, as a star in the sky, right? And Sirius A is one of the brightest stars in the sky. There's a Sirius B that you can't see with the naked eye. You can't even see it with a telescope, okay? But these people, the Drogon in Africa, when you ask them where they came from, they say, we came from Sirius B, this star that they point at in the heavens that we can't even view. And modern science didn't even know about until the till the 1950s, all right? But you would ask them prior to the 1950s, where they came from, and they say, we came from there. Sirius B.
How about the Mayans being able to, calculate the heavens better than we can today?
Yeah, no, it's how did they know that? How did they even know a star existed where you've seen none? How would they have known that? They had to have been told that by whoever was here.
There's no reason, rhyme, or, like, in my mind.
And we're getting a little off topic from the afterlife, but we could actually talk about the beliefs of the Egyptians' afterlife.
Sorry. Yeah, we just kind of got...
We kind of got on a roll there. But right. Very enthralled with the Egyptian afterlife and Set and the mummification of Egyptian bodies.
You know what? So me and Paul were talking about afterlife, and we were talking about why we both disagree or agree with it, and we actually both agree there are and is an afterlife.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and Paul alluded to, we were talking earlier about my experience with a medium. And I went to a medium one time, right? And I went there, and I went there with my mom and my cousins and stuff, and I was like, I don't want to be here. I was like, I wanted nothing to do with it.
This is a great story.
Like, I literally, I went there just for them, and I was like, yeah, sure. And me and my brother went, we were, like, kind of laughing, like, okay, like, here we go. This person's going to say this, that, and it turned into this whole amazing thing. I spent $50 to get there, right? And I'm telling you, It was the best $50 I've ever spent in my life. It made me believe. I wouldn't say it made me believe. It showed me. Exactly.
Showed you the truth.
There was more out there than I could ever believe. So I went there, right? And her name was Maureen Hancock. She's kind of decently well-known. You know, she's one of those people that go out there. So we go in this place.
I wish her hand was on my cock.
Yeah, I know, right? Maureen Hancock. Yeah. But yeah. Anyways. So she comes in, right? And like right away, she literally goes, "Oh my God." And she comes right up to me, my brother, my sister, my mom. And she goes, "Your family is kicking me in the face." And I'm like, here's the thing. If I have such a close family and Paul will say yes. Like we're all super, super close. So like it means like if there was to be something like where a family was kicking down the door, it was gonna be my family. And so she's like, "Your family's kicking me in the face. Get upstage." She pulled us all right on stage. And I mean, like I said, I came there with like a fuck you attitude. So I'm like, "What the hell is going on?" And this lady gets up there and she just knew things about my family you couldn't know. She was like, firstly, she's like, "Grammy's with you," to my mom. She goes, but she goes, she's shaking her head at Dickie, and we never gave him any of our names, nicknames, anything. So she didn't know that, like, the Grammy, we knew a Grammy would be Grammy, and she never knew that Dickie was my dad. And you know, like they always like had a big like joking thing where, like, you know, like my grandmother, my Grammy, acted like she didn't like dad, but she loved him. And you know, like, so that was the start of it. And then she goes to my brother Rob, and she goes, "Grammy forgives you for not being there at her funeral." And so Rob had never ever told anyone but me that. He cried one time and was like, he was so upset because he was at a baseball tournament instead of going to his Grammy's funeral. And she said to Rob, she goes, "I forgive you for not being there." She's like, "I'm glad you won the tournament." How the fuck
would she know that?
That is impossible.
She wouldn't know that.
It's impossible.
Now tell him what she said about your dad.
Dude, so... All right, my dad's a fucking hard ass, right? And so, this is probably what I thought was the funniest thing. He loved us all, but she goes, he looks at me, Robbie, and Carol, my sister Shannon. She even said, "Someone's missing," and my sister Shannon, she was in Florida, so she couldn't be there, but. He's like, "I love you all so much. I love you all so much." But he runs up to my sister Carolyn and he gives her an extra hug and like kind of like gave him the shush sign. And she's like, because my sister Carolyn was his favorite. And he was always her favorite. Like, how the fuck you gonna know that? Right? Like, it was wild, dude.
How about like, when she said, he said, "What the fuck?"
That's what your dad always said. I'm sorry. I fucked up, right? So the first thing he even said... The first thing he even said to before, like, my grandma came on first, but then the first thing he said, he looked at all of us and he went, "What the fuck?" And the way she said it, because, dude, if you work for my dad...
The mannerism.
She literally went, "What the fuck?" And, like, she said it with his attitude. And, like, the second she said that, I was like, "What the fuck?" Dude, I started bawling like a little kid. I was a fucking child I couldn't believe it. Like, and when she said the things to my brother, dude, you know Robbie, right? Imagine Robbie when he looked at, when Grammy went and said, "It's okay." Imagine Robbie.
Yeah, and Robbie doesn't like, he likes to be that big stoic guy in front of everybody, but I can imagine him losing his shit.
I'm telling you, dude, I never believed in this shit. I left that place saying, "There's a heaven, there's a fucking hell, like, there's something," because this lady was talking, like, she literally walked off on stage and went, "What the fuck?" And I went,
She not only said it, she said it in the same mannerism and tone.
It was wild, dude. And dude, she knew who the favorite was. She knew there was one missing. She knew that Robbie missed fucking his grandmother's funeral because he was at baseball. Fuck you. You can't.
You wouldn't know that.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
it's literally impossible. Like, I don't care what research you do of people coming. You wouldn't know that someone missed a fucking baseball game in seventh grade.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Like, dude, shut up.
That's crazy. It's crazy talk.
That's just telling you there's more out there.
But that's why you know that things are possible, you know?
Best $50 I've ever fucking spent.
And like I told you, my mom and my aunt went to a medium after my grandmother had passed. And the same thing.
I can't stand up talking about it.
The same thing. It was like a private thing, but the same thing. They said, your grandmother's coming through and she's talking, but there's a man yelling at me right now, and he's yelling, tell the fuzz to shut up. And she knew that the fuzz was the pet name that my grandfather called my grandmother. How the hell would she know that?
You can't know that.
It's nothing we ever talked about. It's not like they had a meeting with this woman beforehand. Like, literally just walked in, and she's rambling this off the top of her head. You know, so to me, that's just unfathomable.
No, it's not like, seriously, like, I went into that thing being like, whatever. Like, I'm just doing this for my family. And I went out of the, like, like crying, like, I miss you, Dad. Like, dude, like, and it was great. It was great. I couldn't spend $50.
You
felt
like you reached through the fucking afterlife and touched your father, you know?
I felt like someone showed me that there was fucking absolutely an afterlife, because she had been talking to somebody.
She had to have been.
It doesn't make sense otherwise.
No.
How the hell could she know Robbie, my brother, missed a fucking seventh grade, missed
a funeral my for a funeral baseball game
to win a championship? No.
You know, no.
No.
There's no way.
That's a lot of research.
Yeah. There's just no way. I mean, obviously she was a very gifted medium.
So, like, it blew me away. Like, but, like, you know, like, talk about the best $50 you could ever spend to, like just assure yourself. Like, God damn
it. That was $50 each for all of you?
Yeah. I'm saying, dude, to assure yourself that there's an afterlife now?
Yeah, to know that your dad's okay and he's not just in the dark.
I honestly didn't know. I wasn't, like, one way or the other. Like, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. I'm not agnostic. But, like, I was like, dude, she definitely just talked to people I know. Like, it wasn't even just that. Remember how Kevin Flaherty died?
Yep. Oh,
yeah. So one of the first things she said, she's like, hey, Kevin says hi. And I, like, I was just too blown away with everything that was going on. I was like, fuck Kevin. And then after, like, because what they have you do is they have your family.
Yeah.
They write everything that said to you because, like, you're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, you get super overwhelmed. And, so then I looked back on it and I was like, Kevin, I was like, holy shit, my friend Kevin just died fucking 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And, like, it didn't, like, you know, I was like, that's, I'm like, I know that. And now I know.
Another
that's
funny story, insane. Too, is a mutual friend of ours, Tim Feeney.
Yep.
You know how he passed, right? And the night before he passed, he was at my brother's house. And I wasn't there, but he was playing board games with my brother and Justin Perry, a couple other people. And his mother, a couple weeks after he passed, went to a medium, right? And she was on the phone with my brother and Justin while they were at the medium, because she called him because she said, hey, Tim just said he's okay. Don't worry about it. He's looking down on you guys. And he really had fun playing those board games last week.
That's over the phone. Wild.
How would this medium know that the last night he had on Earth, he was playing board games at my brother's house, like playing freaking Monopoly.
It's impossible.
You know, like, and that to me blew my mind too. Like, I mean, he's saying, hey, don't worry, I'm okay. You know, everything's good. And I really had fun playing board games that night with you guys, you know, with his best friends.
I got a question for you. You ever have, like, dreams of whether it's pets or people, and you wake up and you really feel like they were there?
Yeah, see, I've always had very strange dreams that I don't really talk about all the time. People are very visual, like, almost vision-like. Believe it or not, you know, for a while I was suffering from this thing where every night in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, I would feel like I was in my dream, but I would feel like I was plummeting. And I was falling through the sky. And then I'd literally grip onto my bed. And I'd be like, thrash around in my bed. And then I'd be like, oh, wait, I'm in my bed. Right before I hit the ground. And it was happening so often to me that I looked up, you know, the reasons what would be causing this. And it came down to astral projection. And what happens is sometimes when we're in a dream state, we project ourselves onto the astral plane. Some people can control this, like through meditation. People who can't control it, if you're having it happen while you're sleeping, one of the signs is when your spiritual body comes crashing into your physical body to come back into it, in your dream state, this is the reaction that your body has. You feel like you're plummeting right before you wake up. And that's what was causing it. My subconscious was projecting itself out into the astral plane as I slept.
Oh, dude, that happens to me a lot. Like, I'll, like, be falling. I'm like, and I'll come back and I'm like, whoa! Like, that was weird.
Yeah, and it's basically literally, like, thrashing. Like, I was literally plummeting through the air with no parachute. And then, boom, waking up. And that's, I talked to several people, doctors about it, and I did a lot of research online, and that's what the most common thing was for it.
Well, the reason I ask you this, right, is because I personally have these dreams where, it really depends. Like, it's not always like the same person. A lot of times it's my dad. And I can, there's like difference between like a normal dream and like when I believe they're there. Like, I have dreams of like dog, like some of my dogs, like, all like just be hanging out like dog, and like they'll like, you know, like they'll like they'll give me a big hug, and like, and like, and they'll, it's like we'll be like, you know, everything's hunky dory, and then like they'll bite me and I wake up. And, but like, I wake up and I, like, I'm telling you, like, I felt like that dog was there. Like, it was, he was actually there. Like, he was there for me that moment. Like, and I have different dogs. And, like, there's different dreams I've had. Like, and there's also different dreams I've had of my dad where it doesn't even matter.
Does your dad punch you in the face?
No. But, like, not every dog bites me, but I'm just saying, like,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm saying, like, it's weird. Like, but when I wake up, like, from that dream, I'm like, dude, I'm like, they were there. Like, I'll, like, have this big conversation with my dad. And I'll wake up, and I'm like, dude, I was literally just talking to my dad.
You know.
And I've talked to people about it, and they say, like, that's how fucking, you know, like, your ancestors and stuff talk to you is through dreams.
Yeah, and, you know what's crazy, just to bring it to another level, is over the past few years, and we're talking about how we now believe there's a heaven, you know, but I do believe in demons. Recently, over the past few years, I've been suffering from what you would call sleep paralysis. I don't know if you've ever had this happen.
I haven't, but I know you're talking about. And
basically, it's demons attacking you in your sleep and holding you down and oppressing you. And shadow you have to people. Fight your way through the shadow people, pretty much. Yeah, and I've always been able to beat them. I always know that they're not stronger than I am. And I've come down to me even chanting this over and over in my mind. You know, even though I don't follow my faith, I am a confirmed Christian. I've even led myself to, in my dream, chant, "I have the power of Jesus Christ with me. Leave me alone. You can't hurt me." And eventually I will break through and I will wake up. But it is the most crazy, scariest thing you could ever face. Like, you're literally, if anybody ever witnessed it, I'd be literally convulsing, not being able to move my body, but you could see me trying, convulsing, just trapped in my own mind. And eventually you break through and you can move and you awake. But literally there, it's the shadow people trying to attack you at your most inopportune time when you're weak, and trying to feed off the energy of your dreams and your soul. And that's another thing that really led me to believe that this is real, and it's a constant battle between good and evil that we're fighting here.
I was totally going to bust your balls and say, that's your sleep apnea, but in all truth, you ever woken up like you've been sleeping, like the same thing, you're having like this weird dream and you feel like there's something wrong, and you wake up and you think you see...
Well, like, I've seen shadow people.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you wake up and you see something, like, right in your... You're like, whoa, what the fuck? Then, like, you finally wake up, and they're gone. But, like, you, for a second, you see, I'm telling you, I've been there. I've fucking been like, dude.
People talk about the Hat Man. They talk about the old hag. Those are two of the most common shadow people that they see. And it's just a black man, shadow figure with a black pinnacle hat. And the old hag looks like an old haggish woman. I've seen the hat man. I've actually seen three shadows holding me down all at once. And I know it's not sleep apnea because I know I know what sleep apnea is, and this is
I got sleep apnea.
Yeah, I know. I've seen three shadows. The other two demons on the outside were very more demonic looking, like almost like little gargoyles, like hunkering down with the beady little red eyes, holding me in position. And basically, I had to just tell them that, you know, in my cocky way, even in my dreams, I'm like, you don't have any power over me. I will fucking kill you. Like, I'm a cocky fucking son of a bitch. Listen, but, like,
guys,
it is, I'm not going to lie.
If you guys knew this kid growing up, you'd know one thing. He is a cocky son of a bitch. I'm telling
and
you.
And this shit, I'll tell you, I don't admit this. This shit scared me. But I still held on to my cocky resolute and told them. But I did call on the power of Jesus Christ to help me, because I mean, like I said, this shit is scary. It's no joke.
All right, speaking of Jesus Christ, that means you believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe there was a man named Jesus Christ. Whether or not he's the Son of God, I do not know. Do I believe that he believed he was the Son of God? Yes, I do. Did he do lots of great things for people? I do believe a lot of those things happened.
He wasn't the guy in Family Guy.
No, I don't think he was the. I don't think he was the leader of Fantasy World and Family Guy. But I am a confirmed Catholic, and in this time of need, the first thing that my brain triggered in me was, "Hey, I have Jesus on my side.
You're a Catholic.
Use it." I'm a confirmed Catholic. My mom said to me at a younger age, "You're gonna go to CCD. You're gonna do your Catholic schooling, and you're gonna become confirmed. But after that, you can practice whatever you want. It's up to you." So while I am a confirmed Catholic, I do not practice openly. I'm much more of a spiritual, but in this time of need, I did call on Jesus Christ.
If you were to give it a choice, right? Would you be Catholic or Christian?
They're very, very similar. It's pretty much the same thing. Catholicism is Christianity. Yeah,
you wouldn't say that to either of them. They would get it so bad.
No, well, there's new.
Listen, I'm neither, so I got no dog in the fight.
In my mind, Catholicism is just one of the many forms of Christianity. I don't pretend to know the differences. They're too finite,
minuscule.
Yeah, yeah, I honestly don't know.
But you're religious.
I'm spiritual.
That's what I say. But this sounds like a stupid comedic joke. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual.
Yeah, it does sound like that. But you know, in my mind,
believe in something.
Believe in something. I just don't know.
Yeah, where to equate it?
Like I said, in my time in need, I called upon Jesus Christ, and he did help me beat those demons back. So I don't know. You know, who I know, I came out of it pretty quickly after I started chanting, "I have the power of Jesus Christ with me." I don't know if that was, you know,
I
don't know what that was.
Do you believe in demonic depression? Like,
oppression. Oppression? Absolutely. There's demonic oppression. There's demonic possession. There's demonic, there's another one,
like,
too.
Like, The Exorcist. Like, you believe that shit happens?
Absolutely. And a great, great guy to all listeners out there, if you have the time, go on YouTube. Look up Malachi Martin, Dr. Malachi Martin, all right? Exorcist priest, worked for three different popes in the Vatican. Ended up leaving the Vatican because a lot of the cardinals had become apostolic and he felt we're worshiping Satan. And he became an author, and he wrote. He's a best-selling author. He passed away several years ago. But he's got seven episodes that he did.
He died falling down the stairs of The Exorcist.
No, he didn't. But anyway... He's actually got seven episodes, interviews that he did with Art Bell, of the former Coast to Coast AM host, Art Bell, on YouTube. They're about 3 hours long, each of them, but they're riveting. And I suggest you give them a listen if you're interested in exorcism or demonology or any of that. I suggest you listen to it because he was an exorcist priest. He did over 3,000 exorcisms. And he talked about how every time you can't just... Anybody can't just go and fight a demon. They're far too powerful, and you lose a chip off your soul every time you do it. And an exorcism isn't as simple as you saw in the movie. It's not, you know, a little 15-minute thing. Some exorcisms can take months. Some can take years, several sessions at a time.
No, I was just going to look at the time, but I was going to say, so it's obvious that we've obviously established that you're not religious, but you're very... You believe that there's angels, demons...
Yeah, absolutely.
And stuff like that. So, like, you're definitely on that spectrum. So...
I believe there is something out there.
So, what do you think it takes to be, like, reincarnated? Like, if you're... You know,
I just think if your soul is not... has not passed all its trials, it's going to be reincarnated, I believe. Maybe you have a choice. Do you want to be reincarnated? If you do, I feel like most people would.
Hell yeah. I want another go.
Is it a choice where you ascend when someone else chooses? Or do you keep getting recycled constantly no matter what you've achieved? I don't pretend to know the answer to that. But I know that, you know, and I still think that if I have had... past lives, which I think I have, I feel like it's only very few, and I'm still a very young soul. I don't feel...
Yeah, because like you fucked this one up.
Yeah, no. For real. Like, fucked it up.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, Paul's a good guy.
I don't feel like I'm anywhere near the finish line. Let's leave it at that. What about you?
Oh, dude, if this was my last run, I done fucked it up.
Yeah, it's just, you ain't, if this was your last run, the big guy ain't gonna say this is your last run.
No, here's the thing, he'd let me in, because, like, I'm a good person, like, I've never done anything to hurt anyone, I've always tried to help people, like.
Exactly, you know, if you, like, the intent, it's all about the intent.
I know I'm a good person, like.
You know, and it's, you know, and that's believing in what you believe is everybody's own thing, like, I don't believe you have to categorize it like that, like. You know, like, I don't believe that you have to go to church every Sunday in order to be let into heaven. I feel like as long as you...
I believe church is a lie.
And some of them are. And I believe church has been used over the years to fucking gain money, power, you know, oppress people. And it has been used for good. It has been used for... Some people use it for good faith. Some people choose to use it for bad. And they use it for power and gain. And, you know, that's the story of it.
I personally believe that they say, right... If God can hear you wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and you're whatever your soul, there's no need for church. If you're telling me that, there's no reason I need to go to church. I just need to be a good person. I need to do the right thing. I need to be, like, you know, what I should be. Like, I shouldn't have to go to church. I shouldn't have to pay tithes. Like, that's all a bunch of bullshit to me.
You know, and if you want to go to church, then I feel you should be able to.
It makes you feel better.
If you feel like you don't have to go and you want to have your own relationship with God how you want to have it, then that should be your choice. Some people like the comfort of church. They like to go there. They like to have that comfort of preaching with other people and praying, and like that makes them feel better, and then they go do good off of that. Other people don't like that. They want their own personal experience with God, and that's fine too.
But those people get shunned upon by the people who go to churches and say, if you don't go to church, you're not going to go to heaven.
Not by all
churches. A lot. A lot, you're ostracized because you don't go to church. Like, I think everyone deserves to have their own relationship with God, and fuck some institution telling me what it's going to be.
And I believe you're right. A lot of the new churches out right now have that belief. Some of the staunch old ones, like Christianity and Catholicism, don't have that belief. They want to shun you.
You know, it was about 10 years ago now, so it's been a while. But you ever gone to, like, a Christian rock church?
I have not.
Dude, I went. Oh, my God. It was awesome. You get there. There's a dude doing a drum solo. They're fucking rocking out there. Dude, it was like, I was like, if I was going to be religious, this is my house of God. It was cool. Like, you know, like they were having fun with their religion.
My mom's been trying to get me to go to that Waters church.
Not that ever?
Yeah, because she says that's what that one's like.
That's, yeah, dude.
And she goes every Thursday night. And
you'd like it. If you didn't like church, like, if, like, you wanted something different, you'd like it.
Yeah, because she says it's a lot different. I'm going to go for her one of these weeks. I told her
I went for my girlfriend.
Yeah, and I, not my thing, but I'll go for my mom.
Yeah, like, someone you care about, you're like, yeah, I'll fucking,
you know,
go
over. But it's,
what's an hour?
It's not my thing. I don't like meetings like that, you know, but like I said, I'll do it for her because it makes her happy.
Yeah, that's what I do. But, like, dude, when you go in there and all of a sudden you hear...
That would be awesome.
I was like, yeah!
It's like the first time I saw lettuce, and all of a sudden there's this midget playing bass on stage running around, and I was like, yes, this is awesome.
It's like the first time you went to a festival, and you were fucking coming in. Let's just be honest. Me and Paul, we used to have a lot of fun when we were kids. So we're not going to sit there and lie to you and act like we're like some model citizens.
No, we're definitely not model citizens.
We've lived the life and seen the show.
Yeah. I've lived more lives than I want to claim to have.
But hey, we came through.
Hey, you know, came through full circle, you know.
And here we are talking to you guys. And if you're listening to us, then
hey, if you're listening to us and you're enjoying the stories, let us know. That. Share the podcast. Hey, send us a message through the podcast. Tell us your stories.
Yeah,
we'll put them into the podcast.
Like, dude, me talking about like that medium. Paul talking about, you know, what he heard. You know, like, you know, these things resonate with people. Like, we'd love for anyone to share anything.
Share any story that you have. Speaking of that, I want to ask you, do you believe in ghosts, like apparitions or spirits, trapped energy?
Absolutely.
Do you have any experience with that?
Yes, absolutely. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to talk about, like, because people don't really believe you. You know what I'm saying?
Some people do. It's why, like you ever see the beginning of Ghost Adventures and it says some people believe in ghosts. Some people don't.
Yes.
We're just here to, you know, provide the evidence of what we find.
I'll be honest with you. I would have been skeptical if I didn't have my own experience.
Absolutely.
But why don't we talk about that next time?
We can talk about that next time. Yeah. It is getting late. We're getting down to the wire here. I think it's time for a little interlude, actually. So we're going to go to break.
Absolutely.
We'll be back to finish up the show in just a few minutes.
On we go. Welcome back to the weird shit. It's me, Eddie Gailey, and
it's the big Paulie.
Yeah, buddy. So right before you left, you were asking me, do I believe in ghosts? Do you believe in the paranormal?
Oh man, do I ever. Paranormal was one of my favorite things in the whole world. I could do a million podcasts on it.
Well,
I believe in...
We're only doing a teaser. So.
Yeah, we're doing a little teaser, but, you know, I love going out and doing research in the field. I like getting EVP evidence, still frame pictures. I wish I had more equipment to do these things. Hopefully in the future I will, and I can bring that knowledge to future podcasts. But I do very much believe in the paranormal. And
Now, let me cut in real quick. I absolutely do believe in the paranormal shit. I just am a different type of belief. I just believe in what I've seen, and you know, like, I'm not doubting by any means there's scientific way to go about it, but you know, it just sounds froggy to me when you talk about it.
Well, you know, if you on the previously, you know, you told me about how you talk to the medium and things like this. And I feel like there's a couple different types of paranormal things. There's residual energy, which is a trapped energy that's just no intelligence behind it. And it's just over and over repetitive. And then there's actual intelligent energy, spirits that are trapped souls that have not made the move on to the next stage and you know, whatever that is, moving on.
Yeah, so I'm going to pretend like I understood what you're talking about. I'm just going to let you know you lost half our audience there. So, you know, like, I think...
How did I lose half the audience?
Because, no, just like, it's just, you know, like simpletons like myself. Whatever you just said doesn't make sense.
Well,
but to smart people, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. But I'm just saying, like, you know.
Well,
like,
you know, and this is just a teaser. So in the next episode, allow me the chance to explain further and dumb it down into a more of a layman
something
term.
Something I can understand?
Something you can understand.
That would be fantastic.
You know, sometimes they get a little heady. You know?
Yeah, no, saying, this kid's a smart kid, and the only reason I cut into him is because I'm like, Paul, like, these people don't understand what the hell you're talking about. We only have a couple minutes to tease this thing. So this next episode is going to be great. We're going to talk about our own experiences with, you know, paranormal shit. Paul's done some. I've done some.
And there was a prior episode that I did last year, basically with myself and my brother, where we kind of delved into this topic and told some ghost stories. But adding on to this, you know, maybe I can get my brother back on for this episode. Maybe we can rehash those ideas, hear Eddie's ideas and his experiences, and we can go from there.
Yeah, so we'd also, before this episode comes out, like, if someone wants to, you know, get in touch with us and, you know, tell us about their paranormal experience, we, like, you know, if we think it sounds legit, we'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah, we would love to have you on the show, and you can actually leave a voice message right through our podcast app, and we will absolutely take that audio and bring it on to the next show and answer your question, play your story, play your experience.
Let you talk it all out to anyone who doesn't believe you. Everyone has doubters when you bring out these stories, you know?
Absolutely. So, you know, feel free. Leave us your whole entire story on that voicemail message, and we will absolutely put it into the next episode. And you can also reach out to us. We've given our emails before. They're all on the page. You can absolutely chime in.
All right, pause it real quick. So, if you guys are up for it, we got another episode coming. It's going to be paranormal. It's going to be weird. And this is Eddie.
This is Paul.
It's the Weird Shit.